Well, good evening, brethren. This is the Passover service. Before we begin the actual service proper, just a quick reminder to you that you should first of all ensure that you are ready to take the Passover physically, by which I mean that you should have the food washing equipment, bowls, towels, water, and so on, if there is more than one of you. If not, then we will skip the food washing service. Equally, you should have also unleavened bread available and red wine to take the emblems when we get there. The room you're meeting in should be very clean, very neat, and suitable for the Passover. If you need to, stop the tape now and make sure all is ready. Also note that you'll need to pause the tape when we come to the food washing and also when we take the bread and the wine. Okay, finally, just a comment about the time. We should be taking the Passover shortly after sunset. So as dusk falls, as it starts to get dark, that is the correct time for taking Passover. Now, I'll be following this evening the pattern laid down by Mr. Herbert Armstrong. I'll be basically following the letter he sent out many decades ago to those of us who had to take the Passover in our own home, alone, or with just other eligible members of our family. Mr. Armstrong stated that no adults should be present, but only truly converted sons and daughters of God who have been baptized. He points out there should be no visiting, talking, laughing, joking, or conversation. We are meeting on the most solemn and the most serious occasion of the entire year. This evening is a memorial of the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is solemn, it is serious. We should take it very, very reverently. As our first scripture, let us open our Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 22, and we'll read verses 7 and 8 to begin with. Luke chapter 22, and starting in verse 7. Here we read, "Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he, Jesus, sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat." Then drop down to verse 14. "And when the hour had come," a specific hour, "he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, With fervent desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." So Jesus very clearly was eating the Passover. The Jews, the Israelites, and now Jesus had been following this observance for 1,400 or more years. Verse 17, "Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup of wine is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Let's turn now to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And starting in verse 17. Matthew 26:17. "Now on the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" So it's quite clear that Jesus was intending to eat the Passover. Dropping down to verse 26. And as they were eating, eating what? Well, eating the Passover, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is," or "this represents," "this bread represents my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is," or "this represents my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. For I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Let's turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and read what the Apostle Paul had to say about this memorial. 1 Corinthians and chapter 11. And we'll begin in verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11, commencing in verse 23. Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." This is something that Paul received directly by revelation from Jesus Christ. He says, "I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you." This was not passed down to Paul by others, but was direct revelation. So Jesus, it said, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is," or represents, "my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So Paul passes on a very clear instruction, a very clear commandment. Jesus plainly said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." And Jesus' body was indeed broken and scourged and whipped and torn for you and for me. And Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And we will do that in a few moments. Verse 25, "In the same manner, he also took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup of red wine is the new covenant in my blood.'" And of course, you know, red wine does have a certain physical similarity. "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And of course, we do that once a year on the 14th day of Abib as a memorial of the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It isn't that we do it as often as we choose to. We do it as often as the Memorial Day occurs. Once a year, on the evening of the 14th day of Abib. "This do," said Jesus, "as often as you drink it," once a year, "in remembrance of me." Verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." And we'll continue to do that year after year after year, until Jesus returns to this earth. Every year, remembering Jesus' death and his vital importance to you and to me. Verse 27, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." Many are actually dead because they did not fully understand the meaning of Passover, did not discern the Lord's body, and for that reason, says Paul, verse 30, "for that specific reason, many are weak and sick, and many actually have died. Let's turn now to John chapter 6, the Gospel of John chapter 6. And we read verses 53 and 54. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly," and that means very definitely, absolutely, verily, verily, "most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." So that's rather clear. You and I must eat the flesh of Jesus and drink his blood. And of course, how would we do that? Verse 54, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So Jesus said there, in red letters, it's vitally important that all of us, if we want to be raised up at the last day, are found to eat the flesh of the Son of Man and to drink his blood. Otherwise, we do not possess eternal life. It is that absolutely important. It is life and death to you and me. We must take Jesus' flesh. We must consume his blood. And we do that, of course, by taking the emblems every year on the memorial of Jesus' death, which is this evening, the 14th day of Abib. It is life and death important. Okay, let's turn to John chapter 13 now as we move towards the foot washing. So we'll read verses 1 through 17 of John chapter 13. John chapter 13, we'll read verses 1 down to 17, and then you'll need to pause the tape if you're going to participate in the foot washing. If there's only one of you, of course, you can just listen through this and we'll move straight into taking the bread and the wine. Chapter 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And of course, if you think of that, it really is quite remarkable that the very creator of mankind would be kneeling down in front of fishermen and others, and busy down there at food level, you know, washing their feet and drying their feet. For someone who was the executive in the God family to be willing to come down to that level demonstrates a tremendous attitude on Jesus' part, and of course one that Jesus expects you and me to follow. Verse 6, then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet? This is ridiculous, not going to happen." Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Peter understood that, you know, this is the Lord and Savior. He shouldn't be washing my feet. That's just not right. Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Well, Lord, then, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed already needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, "You are not all clean." So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments again, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know or understand what I have done to you. And I don't suppose at that time they really did. You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. This is an illustration of really being humble, of being a servant-minded person, helping out, willing to assist, to do jobs that are not deemed to be so important, such high profile, but jobs that need doing. So you're saying, really, you know, my disciples, be ready to serve. Do whatever is necessary to help and support, just as I've done for you this evening. Verse 15, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. All right, brethren, at this point, if there are more than one of you taking the Passover this evening, you can pause the tape at this point, go and carry out the foot washing ceremony, and then we'll recommence when you come back. Okay, brethren, we'll continue now with the taking of the emblems of the bread and the wine. First of all, at this stage, we will take the cover off of the bread, which you should already have before you. Please take that bread, and the leader, if there's more than one of you, should break that bread now into small pieces. I will ask a prayer over that, and then you should take that small piece of bread and quietly and solemnly eat that small piece. As you do eat that small piece of bread, taking perhaps a few seconds, a minute or two over that, please do reflect on what the bread means to you personally. This is not really about the church as a whole. This is an emblem of what Jesus did for you individually and personally. So think about it. This is what Jesus did for me. This is his broken body. It pictures Jesus' body broken for me personally, myself. So now I will ask a prayer over the bread, and please break it and consume a small piece, taking a few moments to do so. Please bow your heads at this point. Our Father in heaven, we are very grateful for the truth you have revealed to us. This evening we know is a very, very special evening. It is a memorial evening of the time when you, Jesus, were arrested, taken away from justice, and went to your crucifixion. We do appreciate very, very much what you have revealed to us. We have this bread before us now, and we do recognize and accept that this bread does represent the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that body which was broken for us. We understand, Father, how Jesus was taken, was beaten, was scourged, was whipped, was punched, underwent hours of pain and anguish and agony, his blood dripping, his flesh torn, that by his stripes we may be healed. We are grateful, Father, that you care for us physically, that you want us to enjoy vigorous, strong health, strong bodies, and a good long life. And we thank you that you've made available to us, through Jesus' broken body, the healing of our flesh, the healing of our body, that Jesus paid that penalty of broken laws, and that by Jesus' stripes we can be and are healed. We thank you then for this bread. We do want to ask you, Father, to bless the bread this evening. We will take it now, thinking about, reflecting, and meditating on the importance of this bread, what it signifies for us, Jesus' body, our Lord's body, perfectly healthy and vigorous, broken, whipped, and scourged for our healing. Father, we thank you. We ask you to bless this bread now, and we take it quietly and reverently, remembering, acknowledging, and accepting Jesus' body given for our healing. Okay, brethren, hopefully we've now taken of the bread, and now we come to the wine. Once again, I will ask a prayer over the wine, and when we've done that, please pass the wine among yourselves, taking a very small glass of wine and reverently drinking it as a renewal of your acceptance of the blood of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. So once again, I will pray over the wine, and then we will ask a blessing over it. Then please take that wine, sip it slowly, reverently, thinking about what it means again for you personally. And you may wish to pause the tape after the prayer. Almighty God in heaven, our Father, we continue to participate in this special evening and the service that you have set apart for us. We recognize that this Passover is vitally important, that we each individually have to participate in the service and to take of the bread and the wine. We now come to the wine, and we recognize that this wine that we take, this small sip of red wine, does picture literally the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We recognize, Father, that we've done many things in our lives that the wages of sin is death, and there's no way around that for us. But we do recognize also that you've made available for us complete forgiveness of our sins, complete remission of our sins, and that Jesus was willing to come to this earth and to die to pay the penalty for those sins, that we could be set free and look forward to the gift of eternal life. So this evening, we are going to take of this wine, and as we sip it, we'll be remembering that the drips and drops of blood that fell down from Jesus' body, both before and during his crucifixion, that blood was shed for our benefit. This was an example, Father, of your love, that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus, you know, this is an example again of your love and your commitment for us, that you were willing to give your body and then your blood to be poured out and shed for our forgiveness, that we might be cleansed, that we might look forward to a tremendous future, born into the God family, to live forever and ever and evermore. So we thank you, Father. We ask you to bless the wine this evening. We ask that we will take it reverently, think about it, and be truly, truly grateful for what you've done for us that we could not do for ourselves. We thank you, Father. We ask your blessing this wine. We take it now and thank you for it again. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, brethren. Now you should replace your wine glasses back on the tray or the table. Please cover them with any napkins you may have. And we'll now read from John chapter 13, verse 18 onwards for several chapters, which relates much that took place on that final evening, just after the Passover that Jesus took. So John chapter 13, and we'll begin in verse 18. It's several chapters we'll read, so we can settle down. And just remember, this was a very special evening. Jesus, in some ways, was very heavy because he knew what lay ahead just a matter of hours away. But at the same time, of course, it was a momentous evening for him. He had pretty much run the course, and he knew that he was, again, just hours away, in a sense, from being reunited with his Father. Chapter 13, and we pick up in verse 18. I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Talking of Judas Iscariot. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Most assuredly I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. When Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, most assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me. Then the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of the disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask who it was of whom he spoke. And then, leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said to him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, It is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it. And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him, and Jesus said to him, What you do, do quickly. But no one at the table knew for what reason he said this to him. For some thought, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus had said to him, Buy those things we need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Having received the piece of bread, he then went out immediately, and it was night. So when he'd gone out, Jesus said, Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, Where I am going, you cannot come, so now I say to you, A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. Jesus answered him, Oh, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you've denied me three times. Chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father, so how can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive because it neither sees it nor knows it, but you know it, for it dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, which the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. In chapter 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet, because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled which is written in their law, and they hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, which I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth which proceeds from the Father, it will testify of me, and you also will bear witness, because you've been with me from the beginning. Chapter 16. These things I've spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father, nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send it to you. And when it has come, it will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, it will guide you into all truth. For it will not speak on its own authority, but whatever it hears, it will speak and will tell you things to come. It will glorify me, for it will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said to you, it will take of mine and declare it to you. A little while, and you will not see me. And again a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Then some of the disciples said among themselves, what is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I go to the Father. They said therefore, what is this that he says? A little while. We do not know or understand what he is saying. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me. Most assuredly I say to you, that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you'll be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she's in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. These things are spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said to him, well, see, now you are speaking plainly and using no figurative speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, well, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet, I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Then chapter 17. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one, as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me I have kept, and none of them is lost, except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word, which of course, brethren, is you and me today, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have loved me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. And so, brethren, that concludes our Bible reading. That almost concludes the Passover ceremony. It is clearly fairly brief, but nonetheless very, very eventful. We have been commemorating this evening the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have taken the food washing to copy the example of Jesus, which he gave. We have taken of the emblems of the bread and the wine, picturing Jesus' body broken for us, for our healing, and the wine symbolizing Jesus' blood shed for us. We should now sing a song. We will include that just at the close of the service, if you wish to sing along with that. And of course, when the service is completely finished, we should quietly and reverently leave the room, and just bear in mind the tremendous symbolism of what this evening means to us, and be fully grateful for Jesus' sacrifice and for the love with which he and the Father have given us, and be very grateful, and of course then look forward in just a matter of just a few more hours to the beginning of the festival period. So now we will have the closing hymn, and we will dismiss for the evening.